Blog Talk Radio.
Live and bass from Memphis, Tennessee, this is Grizzly Bear Blues Live, hosted by Joe Mullinax.
Rhyme ruler, the mind of the master, the prime poet designed for disaster, a crime candidate, the light heavyweight, I might levitate right through the heaven's gate, rhyme record, break neck spines and vertebrae, step on the plane like Kanye, I heard him say, it's murder one when he murder tracks, I'm a dirt bag, flirting with songbirds and Birkin bags, my first rap, catch Roberta Flack, I'm a certified Mac, but I'm sure you ain't heard of that. Slim Thug and them hoes, they been loving the flow. They been hunting for men like In Vogue. And I'm in season, the season vet. I don't need respect. All I need is a check. Mike, check.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome once again to the Blog Talk Radio Airwaves. And welcome once again to another terrific installment of Grizzly Bear Blues Live. I am your host, Joe Mullinax, and I am so very thankful to have you with us this and every time that you join us for the GBB Live podcast. It's an exciting time. The playoffs are eking ever so closer, or so much closer, I should say, closer to us as Memphis Grizzlies fans, bloggers, writers, media, players, hopefully, whoever listens to this podcast. Thank you. We're looking forward. The energy is building. In some ways, the tension is building, and we'll get to all that and a heck of a lot more on tonight's program. First things first, I want to make sure I give you the layout of how you can get in touch with the show. Multiple ways that you can do just that. First things first, you can follow us on Twitter at GBB Live. If you do not already do so, I would highly recommend that you do. You get all sorts of updates about who our next guests will be. We have the next couple of weeks already lined up as we get ready for the playoff push, and there's going to be some big time guests making their debut and their return to the program. We'll talk about that at the end of the show, but follow that Twitter account at GBB Live, and you'll be able to get access to that information. Plus, you can interact with the show as it's live. Plus, you can answer the GBB Live question of the day that is tweeted out from the account every week that we have, or every time we have a show, I should say. So, at GBB Live, follow it. You can follow me on Twitter at Joe Mullinax. You can follow our producer, Chip Williams, at Chip Williams Jr., and you can follow our first guest in the first segment every week of Grizzly Bear News, Mr. Chris Faulkner, at Faulkner Memphis. I'll introduce him momentarily. You can also get into the chat room, ladies and gentlemen. The chat room is open. Make sure that you're logging in as you listen to the show live. You can go into the chat. I run the chat room. Happy to throw questions out there. Maybe you have questions or comments or concerns even with some audio like we did last week. Folks that were listening to the show live helped us out, and we were able to correct those issues. So please, whether it be by Twitter, whether it be by the chat room, find a way to get in touch with us. We want the show to be as interactive as possible. Here is the rundown of Grizzly Bear Blues Live, this latest edition. In the first segment, the managing editor of GrizzlyBearBlues.com, Chris Faulkner, will join myself and producer Chip Williams, and we will discuss, among other things, Marc Gasol's sanity, which has come into question in several areas this week. Obviously, his episode, it would seem, or his Hulk Hogan impersonation that he pulled off in the latest game against the Sacramento Kings will be discussed. Whether or not he's fully there, we'll also talk about the Western Conference playoff standings. And Dave Yeager was on the Chris Vernon show recently, and he had some interesting takes on a variety of situations that'll be discussed as well. In the second segment, Matt Arlicka, one of our great senior staff writers. He's one of the best in the business and when it comes to Grizzlies blogging, ladies and gentlemen. And he will join us once again for another segment here on the program. We're going to talk about whether or not the Memphis Grizzlies are elite, because we throw that around. You say, hey, the Grizzlies, championship contenders, they're the 2 seed currently right now. They're in the thick of it with Houston at the very least. Is this an elite team? We're going to talk about whether or not they are. And if they're not at this moment, can they get to that point? And then we'll also talk about everybody's favorite scapegoat, at least for this season, Jeff Green. In the final segment of the evening, we're going to have Isaac Simpson of the Man Cave Sports Show on Yahoo 730. Airs every Friday from 3 to 5 p.m. Be sure to give that show a listen on Yahoo Sports 730 a.m. in Memphis. We're going to review the week that was for the Grizzlies. We're going to talk about the blowout losses. We're going to talk about beating the Kings without Boogie Cousins. We're going to take a look at Courtney Lee, major topic of conversation amongst Grizzlies fans. He's been about as cold as ice the past few games and even longer than that. We'll take a look at Courtney and talk in depth about him. So we're going to have Matt Ardlicka on the show later on. We are going to have Isaac Simpson at the close of the show. But before we get to all of that, let's get to our initial segment with Chris Faulkner, the managing editor of Grizzly Bear Blues, with his Grizzly Bear News. Mr. Faulkner, on this wonderful, wonderful evening, how are you doing, my good friend?
I could not be better, as a matter of fact. It's a glorious day in Memphis, and it's been a nice little break from covering the Grizzlies, at least on the court, the past 3 days. So really excited about the weekend.
It's nice to be able to relax. It is. And the Grizzlies, it seems like an abnormality when it comes to this end of the season stretch, especially comparing it to last year, which is the most immediate thought in everyone's memory. You think back to the battle and the fight and the question heading into the last couple of weeks of the season, whether or not the Grizzlies would even make the playoffs, and especially that last week. I remember vividly that game in Phoenix where Zach basically carried them to a win, and then that final home game, the Grizzlies were in the playoffs, but it was basically the Spurs Bowl to see who would have to play the Spurs. Loser plays the Spurs, and the Grizzlies wanted no part of that. Neither did the Mavericks, and that made for some high drama. So even with the lack of drama on one end in terms of, hey, the Grizzlies are solidly in, there has been plenty of drama in other ways, hasn't there, Chris?
Yeah, and, you know, I believe last time we were together on the podcast, Joe, we talked about we were at the low point. You know, we had seen the worst of what could possibly happen with the Grizzlies, but it turns out that the bottom also has a cellar, and we got to endure another couple of games that, you know, brought in a lot of questions and a lot of frustration and a lot of confusion, I'd say. And then on Monday, we had, funny enough, Joan Jordan wrote an article on Monday about the fatigue and frustrations of Marc Gasol. And prophetically enough, just later that night, we saw Marc Gasol get so angry at himself, this definitely particularly at himself, he missed a, you know, pretty open jump shot, something that can be very automatic for Mark. But, I mean, gosh, it was like the first couple minutes of the game. He misses a shot and then backpedals down the court and rips his jersey nearly in two. And then, you know, he kind of continued on along that path. It wasn't the moment of release for Marc Gasol, I'll say that. But enough of the other Grizzlies got it together that night for sure and gave myself and the fans a much-needed win, dominating win. It was nice to, you know, when you compare that game to the other time that the Kings came into Memphis, polar opposites, to say the least. Of course, DeMarcus Cousins being out didn't hurt that, the Grizzlies' calls there. And then, you know, that's probably why Marc Gasol was a little bit more frustrated with himself that night, is because he, you know, with Cousins out, Gasol should be, you know, having one of those big nights that we saw from him back at the beginning of the season. But, you know, they got out there very cleanly, and they've had the 3 days off, probably one of those days, if not more, solely dedicated to the players' personal enjoyment of whatever they want to do. And, you know, we're standing on a 10-day streak here where the Grizzlies are going to be at home, sleeping in their own beds, eating at their normal places, getting practice in at normal times of the day on a – a regular schedule with each other. And, you know, Dave Yeager talked about it on the Chris Vernon show. They kind of need a little chunk of time to get some really good practices in. And, you know, we've seen that recently. They've, you know, have not looked crisp, to say the least, and went up against a lot of other teams who are they are supposedly in the, you know, same echelon of, and those teams did look crisp. They looked fantastic, in fact, and that, you know, that got a lot of us down. Seeing the Grizzlies just, you know, Charlie Brown trying to kick the football, I'd say, against Cleveland, Golden State, and San Antonio, it was just ugly. It did get a little bit better against the Spurs, and obviously that's something that they built on, hopefully, continues to build. And, you know, coming back for another couple of games at home, and I like how the end of the schedule works out. You know, they've got that three-game road trip, West Coast road trip. Again, you know, start off with Jazz and kind of ease into it and work on Golden State and Clippers. It'll be a test to see kind of where they're at. And that was another thing on the site a couple of days ago. Our new writer, Eric Lenzer, posted an article about specifically looking at some stats that kind of are a little damning for the Grizzlies, to be honest. But he suggests that the gut check time is right now. And it is, you know, if we've got seven games left, going to have a nice little chunk of rest after the back-to-back Friday and Saturday as well. So there's, you know, there's really no reason to think that we shouldn't start seeing the better version of the Grizzlies going forward, Joe.
You're listening to Grizzly Bear Blues Live. I am your host, Joe Mullinax, joined in the first segment, as always, by Grizzly Bear Blues' managing editor, Chris Faulkner. And you touch on a lot of the great work, the whole purpose of this Grizzly Bear News segment, that a lot of the great work that goes on the site, and, you know, you as the managing editor, me as a senior staff writer, and I help with edits here and there, and, you know, there's other guys, obviously, that we added a new content editor, and, you know, the site continues to grow, and we continue to add talented folks, and it really shines through in a lot of the work that went up this week and every week. So make sure as you listen to the podcast or whatever it might be, however you're listening to us on iTunes, make sure you're checking out the site as you listen. It really does add to the experience, and you can kind of get a feel for some of the personalities that you hear on this show every once in a while as our guests, for their writing and for what their passion is in terms of their skill. And Jonah, going back to Jonah Jordan and his article from the beginning of the week about Marc Gasol and his rest, that was a good example of his passion shining through, and I really enjoyed that article because of the fact, and like you said, Chris, it was prophetic in a way, because Mark goes Hulk Hogan on us, tears his jersey, and you can just sense and feel the frustration oozing off of him. And there's probably a variety of reasons for that. We got to keep in mind, this guy has been playing basketball since last summer. He was in FIBA. You know, a lot of the reasons so many of us were excited about Marc Gasol potentially having a career year like he, especially at the beginning of the year, did, was because of how he looked in the FIBA World Championships. And it really is something to keep in mind. He's played a ton of basketball. And he hasn't gotten a ton of games off, a la Greg Popovich, what he does with the Spurs. But in fairness to Dave Yeager, not many coaches in the NBA do what Pop does. Now, obviously, Popovich has the rings and the wins to back up his philosophies. But, you know, if you're healthy, a lot of coaches in the league, not just in the NBA, but in sports in general, are going to play you. They're not just going to rest you to rest you. So it's an interesting balance. You could definitely tell that Gasol is frustrated. I'm sure he's fatigued. And you did a great job, Chris, touching on this. The fact that after almost 3-week stretch where they played multiple games, I want to say 15, 16 games, and every single one of them was in a different city. Obviously, sometimes it was Memphis, but when there were no home stands, they would play one game at home, and then they'd be back on the road. So there was a 3-week stretch there where they literally played a different game in a different city every other night on average. This has got to be awesome for them to be able to, and we have to keep, these guys are human beings. You know, Mark just had a baby. Tony just had a baby, and he posts vines or videos on his Twitter account of the kid you know, trying to get them to say grit and grind and stuff. You know, these guys are not just basketball players. They're fathers. They're husbands. Their personal lives sometimes get thrown to the wayside when their sport is going on, and especially when you have such a brutal stretch like the Grizzlies did. It has to be nice to be able to come home, catch your breath, see your kids, and get back into a routine. Something as small as taking a kid to daycare or to school or, you know, just going out to eat can make a world of difference for somebody's psyche.
Yeah, we saw the Grizzlies at their best the first couple of months of the season when they were on a very sort of regimented schedule. They, you know, they basically were playing a basketball game every other day with a couple of days consecutive rest every now and then. But that turned them into the sort of machine that we're all talking about as a title contender for so long. And obviously, you know, I believe we still collectively feel they are a title contender. But, yeah, the rest has got to help. And, you know, they're about to get into sort of the regimented game playing that they benefited from earlier. You know, the playoffs, you'll know exactly when you're going to be playing. Oh, you always know where you're going to be playing. But, you're not going to have back-to-back games after – I believe their road trip next week. But if the Grizzlies are truly designed for the playoffs, that'll be something that kind of helps them kick into gear. We also had another article from Grace Baker, who wrote about Vince Carter's importance to the Grizzlies kind of going into the playoffs. And I think it brings up a good point. There are, you know, the Grizzlies' reliance on their perimeter shooting from, you know, basically three, maybe four guys, Vince Carter being one of those, there are going to be moments for Vince going forward. And I imagine he'll definitely be benefiting from the little chunks of rest that the Grizzlies are getting here. And hopefully we kind of just see Vince on an upward motion the rest of the spring and into, hopefully, you know, a week of the summer, ideally. But I'm feeling pretty good, Joe. I like turning the page on March. That was a pretty ridiculous month. And we're sitting here with seven games left, and the Grizzlies still have an opportunity to win as many games as they've ever won in franchise history. And, you know, judging off the past couple of weeks, that is a daunting task to say that they can pull that off. But it's been a great season. And, you know, if you can just step back and look at the experience, aside from the pressures of being the front runner to win the NBA title, putting that on ourselves, it's been a great season. And my gosh, the health of the Grizzlies, you know, you've got some people nicked up, but we've been extremely fortunate compared to so many other teams. And, you know, each one of these guys is very important, particularly, you know, the big three. And, you know, we'll know a lot more tomorrow night after they host the Thunder and hopefully snuff out a team that they should have, you know, an advantage on with Kevin Durant being out.
And the Thunder, as you just noted, is a team that is significantly weakened by injuries, between Kevin Durant likely being out for the season, also Serge Ibaka out until at least the first round of the playoffs, if not longer. Oh, and by the way, they're fighting for their playoff lives. They're still neck and neck with the Pelicans in terms of the overall standings getting into the playoffs. They're only a game and a half up on the Pelicans as of this recording Thursday night. And it really is something to keep in mind that they're fighting their tails off. Even if it's a weakened Thunder team, Russell Westbrook has been otherworldly the past couple of months. He has been an amazing, amazing basketball player, right there in the MVP conversation with James Harden, with Steph Curry, with LeBron James. So they're going to come and they're going to fight in that game Friday night. They're going to give everything they got. They're fighting for their lives, trying to get into the playoffs for the, you know, they're kind of bringing this back full circle. They're in the position that the Grizzlies were in last year, fighting just to get into the dance. So they're going to bring their A game. Memphis better be ready to go, or else this Thunder team still has the talent, maybe not defensively. Memphis's offensive woes might be corrected a little bit just by playing the Thunder tomorrow night. But when it comes to blow for blow, this Thunder team can beat anybody still, even with the injuries they have, because of the offensive firepower that they carry. So it's going to be interesting to see how that game plays out. Obviously, they have the Wizards the next night, and then they have another three-day off stretch, and they don't play again until they face the Pelicans in Memphis still on a Wednesday night. And I can't stress enough, Chris, and we'll get you out of here on this, the importance of this being a homestand. The back-to-back Friday night and Saturday night is a home and home, a rare home and home. You don't see that a ton over the course of a season. So these guys are going to have about 10 days in Memphis to recharge the batteries, get practices under their wing, which will be huge for guys like Jeff Green, who are still fitting into scheme, and he looks like he's starting to figure it out a little bit more, which is very good for Memphis. So it really is an important stretch for them, because that three-game roadie, starting with Utah, they're playing some of the best basketball of anybody since the All-Star break. It isn't going to be easy.
No, and that's hopefully something that puts the Grizzlies into that mode that they typically operate in, feeling as an underdog. And, aside from them having the opportunity to rest up at home, it's important for the Grizzlies to kind of reassert themselves at FedEx Forum. It's they've been playing 500 ball at home, I believe, since the All-Star break. And, you know, if you're going to put the importance of getting the second seed and getting home court advantage, you got to utilize it, and you got to make teams afraid to come in here and play. And I expect to see a raucous crowd tomorrow, and hopefully they kick it off that way.
Chris, as always, thank you so much for joining us here in this first segment. Look forward to a few home games here, and next time we talk to you next Thursday, hopefully it's a 3-0 homestand, and Memphis will be in a position to possibly have, if not locked up the 2 seed, be a little bit closer than they are right now. The whole being tied thing isn't necessarily good for my blood pressure or my hairline.
No, I'd like to sleep some in the next couple weeks, so hopefully they give it to us.
All right, Chris, thank you so much. We'll talk to you soon, buddy.
Great guy, guys. See ya.
Once again, that was Chris Faulkner, the managing editor of GrizzlyBearBlues.com. Give him a follow on Twitter at FaulknerMemphis. That's FaulknerMemphis, Memphis. As we chug right on along here on Grizzly Bear Blues Live, I am your host, Joe Mullinax. And there is a lot of interesting conversation going on out there about how this team matches up with the elite. Obviously, it didn't look too hot the last couple of games against, you know, obviously the Cavaliers was a big loss. And then they played the Spurs and the Warriors in a back-to-back, and that didn't end very well either. 3 games against arguably the 3 best teams in the NBA right now, Cleveland, Golden State, and San Antonio. 3 losses by about an average of 19.6 points. Didn't look good, and I got all chest poked out, fired up on these airwaves, and I made a call out to the Grizzlies, show up, win the next 3 games between shows here on Thursdays, and, you know, really show that you're kicking it into high gear, and obviously that didn't happen. So we're in a boat now where the Memphis Grizzlies are dead tied with the Houston Rockets. They own the tiebreaker as of this recording because of divisional record, because they split the season series 2-2. So Memphis is technically the 2 seed, technically the leader in the clubhouse at the South with the Southwest Division Championship. But that can change. It's all very fluid. And Houston plays tonight against Dallas after a big-time battle against the Kings, in which James Harden had to score 51 points just to find a way to win. the night before. So hopefully Dallas does the Grizzlies a solid and picks up a win over the Rockets on the second night of a back-to-back here Thursday night. Memphis has to worry about their own business, though. They can't get into the business of scoreboard watching, because once they do that, they start sliding down a slippery slope in which they're, you know, depending on other people to control their destiny. The bottom line is this: if Memphis wins, they're the 2 seed. Just like last year, if they won, they were in. Scoreboard watching has evolved for the Memphis Grizzlies this season. Before, you have to watch and kind of have a feel for where Dallas was, where Phoenix was last season. You were just worried about sneaking in the back door of the playoffs. Right now, you're at the top of the playoff picture. You are in no matter what. The worst, if the wheels completely came off, that you could do would be the 6 seed, which certainly is not ideal. But, you know, you're still in solidly. You're not worrying about being a 7 or 8, scrounging at the last minute to scrap in like the Pelicans or the Thunder this season. Now you're scrounging and scraping to achieve something that Memphis has never done before. They've never won a divisional championship. And the Grizzly Bear Blues Live question of the day ties into this idea of how valuable is that to you? How valuable is the idea of achieving that 2 seed, which means you are also getting the Southwest Division title, first time you're able to hang a banner in the FedEx Forum, truly successful season, not just because of records, but because in your extremely difficult division, most folks would agree, the toughest in the NBA, you were able to find a way to win, hold on to that 2 seed, win that division, hang that banner. It makes it that much sweeter in terms of regular season success. How important is that? That was one of the question, I should say, that I tweeted out from the GBB Live Twitter account. I do that every time we have a show. It's the GBB Live question of the day. And the question of the day, once again, how do you feel about it? Do you think that you should rest people like Jonah Jordan, our writer, our staff contributor over at GrizzlyBearBlues.com, did? He's a big proponent of resting these Grizzlies, making sure that they're healed up and ready to go for the stretch run of the playoffs, not necessarily just the regular season. Or do you want to pursue that number 2 seed? Do you want to get to the position and place where you are able to achieve greatness in the regular season? So the question of the day, once again, what should they do? Should they focus on rest? Should they go for the 2 seed? Jonah Jordan chimed in first, of course, which I liked. He says, do I even need to answer this? Because as we, with the article and other conversations, yeah, at JMJ1757, yes, you need to do that. If you want to be on the show, Jordan, that's the entire point of the Grizzly Bear Blues Live question of the day. So he responds, rest, please. Very elaborately with a lot of letters. You don't want to hear me do a rest, please. You don't want to hear that. So, Jonah, rest, please. Jonah's a fan of rest. So is Kevin Young, our guest last week on the program, at KevinHFY. He says simply, rest. Adam Rubrum, great listener of the show, great contributor to the site, says fight for the 2, but manage minutes. And this is my kind of position as well. You can get rest by cutting minutes, especially in situations where either they're winning by a lot or losing by a lot. No point in running these guys in the ground. I think the 2 seed will be determined after the next 4 games played for both Memphis and Houston. And Adam might be right on the money with that as well. Samantha Shorter, thank you so much for tweeting in. At Samantha3590 says, as long as we avoid the Spurs, it doesn't matter what seed we are. There's some validity to this. I'm not quite sure, you know, obviously they're not going to see the Warriors in the first round because that seems to be locked up by either the Pelicans or the Thunder at this point. But I do agree that the Spurs are a team you don't want to see as long as possible. And things are lining up the way that I've said maybe they could the past couple of weeks if the Spurs find a way to get to that 5 seed area. And right now, if you look at the standings, once again, as of this recording, they are a half game out of the 5 seed. If they're able to slide in nice and slowly or fast, whatever it might be, if they want to get into that 5 seed, there's an opening there. They got to get to it. Because if they get to that 5, that means the Clippers fall back to the 6, and that means the Grizzlies will have the Dallas Mavericks in the first round and then the winner of the Houston Rockets and Los Angeles Clippers. That is the easiest path for these Grizzlies to get to the Western Conference Finals, in which they will probably see either the Golden State Warriors or the San Antonio Spurs, two teams that, if we're all being honest with each other here, folks, are better than the Memphis Grizzlies right now. But Golden State and San Antonio would have to play each other in the semifinals, probably beat the holy hell out of each other, you would imagine, 6 or 7 game series, and that plays into the hands of the Memphis Grizzlies. It could be like 2 years ago when it was like the Red Sea parted in the Western Conference and Memphis was able to rise and get to the Western Conference Finals. That would be the best situation. Samantha, thank you so much for tweeting in. Austin Reynolds at Reynolds Rant, another great GBB contributor, tweets in and says, 2 seed. Another great Grizzly Bear Blues contributor, Matthew Bishop at TA is my homeboy, says, play each game, but if the game gets out of hand in either direction, sit them. I'm with you on that, Matthew. Little C at CN Reber, R-E-B-E-R, thanks for tweeting in, says, fight for the 2 seed and win the division title. I think I'm with you, Little C. I want to see a banner hanging at the FedEx Forum the next time I'm in Memphis. And then finally, Ed Randolph, thank you so much, Ed, for listening and tweeting in, at M-I-S-T-A-H underscore Ed. If the 2 seed means we get Dallas, then we want it. Dallas is the one team in the Western Conference right now playing worse basketball as of late, as in the month of March, than the Memphis Grizzlies. I'm with Ed. You want to see Dallas. That is who you want to see in that first round matchup. That would be a good spot for the Grizzlies, to be sure. Before we get into the next segment, I want to make sure that I'm giving a special shout-out to Audible.com, powered by Amazon. They're a great sponsor of this program, and they do a terrific job with audio books, audio downloads. You can download books using this URL, www.audibletrial.com/grizzlybearblues. You use that URL, you're able to sign in, you're able to sign up and get access to over 150,000 books, whether they be fiction, nonfiction, biography, science fiction, everything in between. You have your choice when it comes to Audible.com. You sign up, you pick a book, you download it, it's yours, you can use it however you see fit. MP3, CD burn, put it in the cloud, whatever you want, you can put that file in that format. If you sign up using, once again, www.audibletrial.com/grizzlybearblues, not only after you sign up do you get an audiobook download right from the start, not only do you have an opportunity to get one every month as a member of audible.com, you also will help us here at GBB Live as we prepare towards the end of the season to make a donation to St. Jude Children's Research Hospital in Memphis, Tennessee. This is a cause that is near and dear to my heart, ladies and gentlemen, very passionate about it. From my time in Memphis, it was awesome to see the work that they did in the community and with the young people that have to go to St. Jude. St. Jude is for young folks, children who have life-threatening ailments in their families. And the beautiful thing about St. Jude is no child or family member that goes through the doors of St. Jude for treatment or lodging has to pay a cent while they're there. Of course, things are not free in this life. We all know that as adults. And if you're a child listening to this podcast, spoiler alert, you're going to have to pay money for things in the future. It's not just mommy and daddy getting you stuff. Unfortunately, these things cost money. Not for the people that are going through the treatments, though. That's through the work of donations. That's through the work of charitable foundations. And we here at GBB Live, want to be a part of that process. So once again, ladies and gentlemen, www.audibletrial.com/grizzlybearblues. Sign up today. Get yourself a wonderful service and help out an even better cause. My guest at this time is senior staff writer, or one of the senior staff writers for GrizzlyBearBlues.com. I would say he's one of the best in the Grizzly blogging business. If you haven't read his work, you should. I'm sure he will be putting out even more great work as the playoffs approach. He's a friend of this show. He's a friend of mine. Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome Matt Hardlicka. Matt, how are you doing tonight, buddy?
Oh, just another day in paradise, Joe. How are you?
You know, if I were any better, Matt, I couldn't stand it. The weather's getting better. It's, you know, nice 70-degree day here in Virginia where I'm at, and it's spring break, so it's really hard to complain too much when you're a teacher living that life.
Yeah, you got the life right now on spring break, that's for sure.
Yeah, can't complain, and it wouldn't do any good anyway. Plus, like I said, people that are, you know, like my wife who are still working, they come home, you know, I might be, you know, writing up for the blog or watching TV. Or, you know, I have a honey-do list like most folks do. I had to do grass seed and, you know, go do some Goodwill donations and things like that. But that takes up like an hour of your day. The rest of the time, you're kind of just lounging, relaxing, resting up for the stretch run of the school year. She comes home and you say, hey, honey, how was your day? She's not interested in talking to you, at least for 15 minutes, because she knows that you've been on that couch for several hours.
I'm right there with you, buddy.
So there you go. See, I appreciate that, Matt. So glad to have you on, as always. And as we take a look at the Memphis Grizzlies the past 20 games, let's just do that, because that's a sample size that I've worked with in recent articles. They're 10-10 in their last 20, Matt, and they have looked rough in a lot of those games. Even in wins, they haven't looked very good. Of course, the three that stand out in everybody's mind are the losses, the big-time losses to the Cavs, the Warriors, and the Spurs, three teams that, for all intents and purposes, if you want to win an NBA championship, you're more than likely having to go through at least one of those teams, probably two. I'm not sure even Atlanta, as great of a season as they've had, I'm not sure they're getting past the Cavaliers if they play as well as they did against Memphis on that Wednesday night. Mm-hmm. So the Grizzlies, we talk about them being elite, this idea of chasing greater, being a championship contender. Are they really elite right now, Matt? And I think this is a pretty easy question to answer. The second part may be a little bit more difficult, but let's start with the first part. Are they elite? Are the Memphis Grizzlies elite sitting here today?
Well, I'm going to put on my Coach Yeager hat and say yes.
Nice. Coach Yeager hat. I like that. Okay.
Yeah,
okay,
well,
that's
Coach
good.
Yeager, he got asked the question, something along the lines of I don't remember. But it was on the Verno show, and it had to do – oh, it was with Jeff Green lineups having a higher ceiling. And ceiling like elite is sort of an amorphous term that isn't well-defined. So he just said yes. So I'm just going to say yes. Yeah. And also, I'm actually the reason we got pounded by the Cleveland Cavaliers, because I was dumb enough to bet money that the Grizzlies would win that day. So that loss we can just throw out. It was completely 100% my fault.
Well, thanks a lot for that, Matt. Thanks a lot. We appreciate, you know, your gambling exploits costing us a win there. So thanks.
I 100% will not bet on the Grizzlies the rest of the year. I am making a pact with the rest of Grizz Nation. I will not do it.
We're talking with Matt Ardlicka. Follow him on Twitter at TheRealArdlicka, HRDLICKA. And Matt, using the Dave Yeager vernacular there a little bit, talking about the Grizzlies being elite, let's just say, playing devil's advocate here, Matt, even though I think you're doing that a little bit anyway, but let's just, you know, say that they're not elite, okay? Let's say that those losses kind of are what they are. They are a good basketball team, as they have been the past 5 years that they've made the playoffs. They're a team that is capable of beating just about anybody, except perhaps the three teams that they're going to have to beat to win an NBA championship. So we saw what greater is. How do they get there in the next couple of months? Is it possible for them to get back to where they were at the beginning of the season, where, as Chris said in our first segment, everybody feared the Grizzlies and they were the early favorites for the NBA title?
Well, I think everybody just needs to keep everything in perspective. If, let's just flip events around in the calendar and say the Grizzlies struggle out of the gate. And lately, Vince Carter's hitting shots, looking healthy. You know, Bino is playing great. Courtney Lee's still hitting 56% of his three-pointers. How great will we feel? We would feel amazing. We would feel like we have a real shot. But, I mean, the playoffs still don't start in 3 weeks. And while you'd like to see an uptick, like, I don't necessarily think that play right now on this date will reflect how they play in three weeks. I'm not going to sit here and pretend like I know what's going inside Marc Gasol's head or who's going to start or how healthy everybody is or anything like that. But I just keep everything in perspective and say at their best, this is the best team in franchise history. They can legitimately beat pretty much any team in the NBA, unless Cleveland goes insane or Golden State goes insane. I think they could beat the Spurs if you know they play their best. And the other thing about it is, who says? We've got so much longer to go, and the Spurs are not immune to injuries. I mean, the year we beat them as an 8 seed when they were a 1, that's not happening if Manu Ginobili doesn't hurt his arm like the second to last game of the season. I mean, he wasn't at 100%. You take one of those guys out, and I mean, the Spurs are a buzzsaw, but, you know, the Grizzlies are really good, and we have a legitimate shot. I also think Golden State is a little susceptible. If we were to meet them in the conference finals, I think there's a chance that, I mean, if I was coaching against Golden State, what I'd be doing is pressing Steph Curry every time up court, making him work on offense and defense. And if he's gone through two straight series of that and we meet them in the conference finals, there's a good chance Steph Curry runs out of gas.
Well, in that situation, and just building off of that conversation, which is, I would completely agree with that, look at how teams have beaten the Grizzlies in the past. Going back to the Oklahoma City series last year, they would press Mike Conley, force him to get rid of the ball, force you to have another ball handler on the court that Memphis just didn't have consistently, especially since Nick Calathes was suspended for that series. So you're looking at a situation where Memphis had to get the ball in the hands of Courtney Lee, and he wasn't able to handle that pressure as well as, you know, maybe a Calathes or a Beno Udrah would have been able to. It was just a tough spot to be in terms of the press. You do that to Steph Curry, now you're forcing Klay Thompson to be that playmaking guard that can handle the ball. You're making, you know, Andre Iguodala or Draymond Green even have to handle the ball more than they're comfortable with. I think that's a good strategy, Matt.
And here's the thing is, you're absolutely right that we're going to have to beat the Spurs or the Cleveland Cavaliers or the Golden State Warriors at some point to win a title. We may have to beat all three of those teams. But that doesn't happen tomorrow, you know. That happens, you know, at worst. We have to play one of those teams four times. We have to beat one of those teams four times out of seven in about a month. And a lot can happen in a month. A lot can happen. I mean, we've seen it a month ago where we really – or a month and a half ago with All-Star break, everybody was feeling pretty good, you know. So just project out another month and a half. How good could we feel again? You know what I mean?
You're exactly right, and we're talking with Matt Ardlicka, GrizzlyBearBlues.com senior staff writer. Make sure you follow him on Twitter if you don't already, at TheRealArdlicka, once again, H-R-D-L-I-C-K-A. And you make an interesting point about the ebbs and flows of the season, how good, people were feeling about the team, you know, just two months ago when they were running off, I believe it was a 12-2 run that was before this 10-10 run. NBA seasons have ebbs and flows, and teams have different situations arise, whether it be injury, whether it be terrible schedules like the Grizzlies had to contend with during the month of March. March was brutal, every bit as brutal as December, if not more difficult, if you ask me, in terms of travel. Now that they're in this homestand, hopefully we see them settle in a little bit and they have some success and they get back into a rhythm. Speaking of getting into a rhythm, there's a man who you and I have had conversations about on Twitter and on this show, and he looks like he might be starting to get into a rhythm. I'm not going to ask you to eat crow because I'm sure that you'll have plenty of valid reasons why he isn't what we thought he might be. But I'm just going to give you a rundown of what Jeff Green has done the past 10 games, Matt. Past 10 games, Jeff Green, in 30 minutes of play, has shot 49% from the field. He's gotten 4.5 rebounds, which is more in line with what his regular season average is in terms of rebounding. He is getting 15.4 points per game. In the last five games, Matt, he is shooting 50% from the floor, and that's on an average of about 12 shots a game. Plus, he's shooting 50% from three. 50%, Matt. Now, I'll concede that is probably not sustainable, and even the 50% from the field is not sustainable. But is it fair to say that Jeff Green has at least settled in and is, you know, not the net negative that maybe you and others would have thought he would be?
I'm not going to answer that. What I'll say about Jeff Green is that he Jaeger's doing the right thing in sense of once you acquire Jeff Green, obviously me and you are on different sides of the coin about whether the trade was worth it or not, but let's throw that out. He's on the team now, and Jaeger had to figure – had to give him time to gel with the first unit. I think we can both say that it didn't go quite as well and that moving to him to the bench may have been a better use of his skills.
I can concede that.
They need Green to work with the starters in the playoffs. And if it's not Green, they need a guy, whether it be Vince Carter or somebody, to be a threat where – because teams will take away Coney Allen. They've seen it for three straight years. And they need a threat there. So if Jeff Green can be that threat, and there's distinct things that he can do, like hit corner threes, like handle the ball and be a little bit of an outlet, get out in transition, which the transition game isn't going to be that big of a deal in the playoffs, but there are things Jeff Green can do that Tony Allen and Courtney Lee can't. They need those things to win series in the playoffs. If not against Dallas, they'll maul Dallas, whether whoever is playing Jeff Green's minutes, they're going to maul Dallas. But to beat Spurs, to beat the Warriors, they need Jeff Green. They need good minutes from him. You sort of threw out some numbers there. I haven't looked at his stats, but I think his 2-point percentage is lower than his career average. His 3-point percentage is actually pretty good right now. But what I'll say to that is they need his 3-point percentage to stay good. They need a threat there. I think Harrington was talking about this, but they need an offensive threat that defenses will close out on at the small forward spot for stretches. Because I don't think, although I think Tony Allen is their best wing, he's easy to take away on offense, and they need something there for 7-minute stretches, 4-minute stretches, end of game possessions, where they can insert somebody who is a threat at the three. So I think better than getting in an argument about the relative qualities of Jeff Green, I think we both agree they need him for the playoffs.
Oh, Matt, you know me too well. I'm just trying to fire you up, and you know you're not one of the ones who gets so fired up about Jeff Green. Of course, you are certainly very logical and very smart.
I pretty much
and
beat
I respect
everybody to the punch. I just went for the jugular early.
You did,
and then I said my piece, and then I didn't want to talk about like I didn't want to have the arguments anymore. More or less, you know,
that's
he's on
true.
The team. Let's just I'll just deal with it. We need him, you know. So and I mean, frankly. Like, they do need him because even though Tony is the best wing, there are end-of-game possessions where, you know, the Grizzlies can run a high pick-and-roll with 30 seconds left, probably have the last shot, or the other team's going to call a timeout. And having Tony sitting in the corner is so much easier to guard than having Jeff Green in the corner. And, I mean, like, that's – even the most ardent Jeff Green haters – will admit that from the corner, if you just stand him there for a possession, that should be a positive, you know?
Absolutely, especially compared to Tony Allen, as you said. And as Matt alluded to, in terms of positivity about Jeff Green, I'm probably a little too positive at times. I'll concede that fact as well. I don't see him as the negative as others do, but I also acknowledge that I was on the start him bandwagon maybe a little bit longer than I should have been in terms of this season. I agree with Dave Jaeger completely that the ceiling is higher with Green and Lee as your starters, but that takes time, and that's what I said all along, and they ran out of time. Time is up. They're in the playoff
mm-hmm.
hunt now. You have to go with what is familiar, and you have to go with a guy in Tony Allen who, A, understands scheme, and B, Matt, I know you know this as a former athlete as well. Real success as an athlete comes when you learn scheme, whatever sport it is, and then you go from the point where you don't have to think about it anymore. It's reaction. It's snap reactions. It's quick think. You don't even think. You just do, and it fits within what you're supposed to do. Jeff Green was thinking too much. Tony Allen doesn't have to think. He understands the cuts. He understands the scheme and the system defensively. He is in a better place to give better minutes with that starting unit right now. That's fair to say.
Yeah, and really, I was actually, I wish Green would think more, or at least, I don't know. I one of the reasons I was really against the trade was I just didn't think, there's no track record for taking 28, 29-year-olds who've been in the league for 8, 9 years and teaching them a different way to play. Like, and if there is, it doesn't exist for coaches who are trying to win every single game to maintain seeding, who are second-year head coaches with veteran teams. Like, it just – I was really skeptical about Green being able to pick up defensive philosophies. And he is – he's slow on recognizing, like, what action teams are running. He's slow to recognize decoys. With that said, they're going to need him. Coach Yeager was 100% right about playing him. I mean, starting him with the starters is the easiest way to get him with the starters and just give him every chance to work out. And they're still going to need him. And he'll play a vital role in the playoffs, 100%.
We're talking with Matt Hardlicka. Follow him on Twitter at TheRealHardlicka. Once again, HRDLICKA. And Matt, as we talked about earlier in the show with our GBB Live question of the day, a major topic of discussion, and Chris Faulkner recently tweeted out about this, maybe this will be the next divide amongst Grizzlies fans. Jeff Green was a major divide, obviously, and then even before that, you know, situations with maxing Mark, or, you know, it always seems like there's something that has Grizzlies fans up in arms one side against the other. The next one may be, if it hasn't already started, I think it has, whether or not the Grizzlies should fight to the finish in terms of getting the 2 seed and divisional title or not. So I already read down the Grizzly Bear Blues Live question of the day responses, so it can just be me and you here. What do you think is the biggest priority for Memphis, Matt? Do you think that they need to rest these guys like Marc Gasol, who, like Jonah wrote about earlier in the week, I think he's exactly right. He's frustrated and he's probably exhausted. But do you think that the rest that is set up through these next 2 weeks is enough for this team? Do you think that they need to cut minutes but still play everybody every game? Or do you think they just need to say, to hell with it, we're going for the 2 seed in the district, in the division, excuse me, championship come hell or high water?
I've kind of given up rooting for seeding because everybody's so close. I mean, I think 2, 3, 6 now are separated by 2 games. There's really no – I know in theory I would prefer the highest seed because, you know, you would think you'd play a worse team. I don't want any part of the Spurs in the first round. So in theory I'd like to stay away from them. But whether you win games or lose games, you have no idea where they're going to be. And frankly, we just seem fated that we're going to head to a first-round series with the Spurs. It just seems like they've been lurking there as our nemesis in the first round. But I guess generally, I've already sort of thrown out in my head, like, I don't really care whether we have the 2 seed, 3 seed, 4 seed, 5 seed, whatever it is. I guess we can't have the 4 seed, but 2, 3, 5, whatever it is. I would prefer guys to be healthy and rested, but I don't know what that means because, you know, we Tony's resting right now. Zebo has an elbow thing and maybe a knee thing, but I don't know if sitting him out a game necessarily makes him better, you know, makes him more well-rested. I guess in theory it would, but I would always taper Marc Gasol's minutes a little bit because we have a great backup, and I've been saying all season he should play a little bit less, but I don't think sitting them out in any individual game is necessarily the right play. I would always side with health and rest, but I just don't know how much that means now. I mean, maybe you're right and the amount of rest between the games is enough. You know, I don't know the answer to that. And it's one of those fine lines Coach Yeager's going to have to walk. And I have to say, he's done a pretty good job overall. I mean, really, he's done a really good job. Anybody complaining about his, you know, you can nitpick little things, but overall, he's been a great coach this year.
He's fantastic. I am very much firmly on the Dave Yeager bandwagon, and I was from the beginning in terms of him over Lionel Hollins, and that's not to trash Lionel. I'm not in that business. I think Lionel has redeeming qualities. He has flaws like everybody else, and I think it was time for the franchise, the organization, and Lionel all to move on. I don't think that anybody was necessarily right or wrong in that spot, and I wish Lionel the best in Brooklyn. But Dave Yeager is the best team coach for this team with this ownership group, with this front office, and he's done a phenomenal job. He has grown by leaps and bounds compared to last year, in my opinion. You could certainly argue for Kostas Kufos. I'm with you. I don't know if I would nitpick that much, but you do have a guy who is more than likely going to be a starting center for somebody in the NBA next year, sitting on the bench behind Mark. And granted, Marc Gasol is the best all-around big in the NBA. You don't want to take him off the court that long, but you can cut minutes, and you could have found rest for him in other spots, especially considering the fact that FIBA happened this summer, and he probably is exhausted. But I'm with you. I think that's nitpicking. I think that he's done a pretty good job overall. I would be in favor of fighting for that 2 seed because I believe in my heart of hearts, and I've been on this for about a week and a half or so now, maybe even 2 weeks, Matt. I think the Spurs are going to get to the 5. I mean, they're only a half game, behind the Clippers right now. And if the Spurs get to the 5 and they have that 4-5 matchup likely with Portland, that means that the Grizzlies will be going against either Houston, the Clippers, or the Mavericks for their first 2 series of the playoffs. They don't have to see Golden State or the Spurs. If that is the scenario, how it plays out, if you don't have to see Golden State or San Antonio until the Western Conference Finals, that is the preference. But at the same time, I would be a hypocrite if I said you have to bank on that, because at the beginning of the show, I said that you shouldn't be scoreboard watching. So you have to do what's best for you and yours. There's no doubt about that. And I think that what is best for this team, if they are truly embracing the moniker of chasing greater, what is greater for this team is something that they've never done before, and they've never won a divisional title. So as long as everybody is able, and I think you can cut minutes, and I've talked with folks about this, and I said this in an article earlier this week, you can cut down minutes during the game. You know, Marc Gasol is a great example. He's averaging 33.5 minutes a game. You cut that by 5.5 over these next 7 games, you're getting him the same amount of rest that he would have gotten in one game off, just over a progressive amount of time. I think there's ways to get to that end result that people are looking for without necessarily, as you said, completely going cold turkey on a game.
Yeah, two points real quick. One
is
you really don't, I think we have this mindset where I actually used to be like this a couple of years ago. You say, oh, yeah, just trim them by 5 minutes. But if you actually look at what that does to rotations, that just trimming Marc Gasol's minutes by 5 would actually throw off pretty much your entire game plan.
Interesting.
And what that does,
no, I never thought
actually,
of it like that.
Yeah, because if you're going to have Mark in with the second unit, or if you're just going to say, okay, well, Kostas is going to go in for Mark's minutes, that changes, like, literally the entire offense with the second unit. If Mark's in there with Bino, you can't run dribble handoffs. You can't have Kostas at the top of the key with the ball like you would be Mark. And now suddenly you're asking guys to do things in the playoffs you're asking them to do things in that individual game that you're not asking them to do in the playoffs. It won't be their role. And that's where bad habits get in. Like, you're a football coach. You know, you just drill these guys as much as you can day in and day out, run the play. And while basketball is a different sport and it's different, I do think that bad habits can creep in if you're giving somebody freedom suddenly right before the playoffs. You know what I mean? My second point would be – oh, crap, I forgot my second point because I rambled so much about my first point. It wasn't
I'll counter your point that you just said, and then I'll wrap you up with our final question. I guess what I was referencing there, Matt, and you're exactly right. If you're gonna, I'm not a proponent of playing Mark with the second unit. That's not what I'm saying. I'm just saying you cut 5 of those minutes and you just give them the Kostas. So that would obviously affect the starters some, but it also would only affect Kostas. But you give an interesting perspective, and I hadn't thought about it like that, and you're right to an extent. If you're cutting minutes this close to the playoffs, that throws off the rotation at the very least, makes things a little bit more complicated. We're wrapping up here with Matt Ardlicka at The Real Ardlicka on Twitter. And Matt, the last question for you does involve Marc Gasol. I'm sure you've seen, even if you weren't able to watch the game live, either you DVR'd it or the countless vines of it. You know, Marc Gasol might be losing it. He tore his jersey, very Darko of him, in terms of tearing his jersey a la Darko, a la Hulk Hogan is what I thought of as a wrestling fan. And there's, you know, pictures of him with the NWO, which I thought was pretty funny. But, you know, our buddy Kevin Leip, former managing editor of Grizzly Bear Blues, does a great job with Memphis Flyer. He's been on this show countless times. Kevin's a great guy. You and I both know him and have worked with him. And obviously, when he was out with his youngin being born, we each wrote for him while he was out. One of his articles this week was called Catch 33, which, first off, excellent title. Very, very good. He talks about questioning Marc Gasol's state, and he makes a decent argument for saying, hey, whether it be frustration, whether it be exhaustion, whatever it might be, personal, professional, he might be losing it. How do you feel about Marc Gasol's state heading into these last 2 weeks of the regular season?
You know, I think it's nearly impossible to get inside these guys' heads, you know? I mean, I mean, clearly something's bothering him, and I'm sure there are people in Memphis that know what it is. I'm sure some people have heard whispers. I haven't heard anything, and therefore I don't have an opinion on it. I just think he's showing some frustration, and I would tend to believe that it's probably something transitory, that a little bit of winning would just melt away. You know, I don't know. I've seen some tweets about his impending free agency affecting him. I don't see any point in speculating about that kind of stuff, because there's just that's all it is speculation. You know, these guys are humans. I tend to, just like with the Jarnell Stokes fight that he got in the D-League, like, I don't care about any of that stuff. These guys are emotional. They're competitive. If they show emotion and suddenly we're all like, oh, my God, he showed emotion, you know, like, you know, it's out of character, but is it really that big of a deal that he ripped his jersey? I don't know. I certainly wouldn't leap to any conclusion and say, oh, this is why it is, you know.
It's important to keep that in mind. And as you said, you hear rumors. I've heard rumors. But you don't, you being obviously, you're in Atlanta, right, Matt? I know you travel a lot, but you're in Atlanta, correct?
I happen to be in Atlanta today, yes.
Okay, yeah, exactly. I know you were in Vegas recently and all that, but that's where you're stationed, I believe. I'm in Virginia, don't travel nearly as much. We do not have the proximity to the team that guys like Kevin Leip, Chris Harrington, Chris Vernon, all folks that, you know, through conversations on Twitter, or I've had an opportunity to meet them in person when I covered the playoffs last year. You have conversations, you hear things, but you don't know the people, and you don't know the players especially, and you don't have that grasp on what's going on in their heads, even people that you know very well, like our wives. Sometimes we don't know what's going on in their heads, and they're people that we're supposedly know better than anybody in the world. But when you look at his body language, that's one thing that you can really focus on, and I think that it gives a little bit of validity to the idea of, like you said, either the free agency frustrating him or confusing him, the situation with the team in general. I'm sure he's exhausted, and then the personal aspect, like I talked about at the beginning of the show, and you're exactly right. I mean, he just had a little baby, just, you know, married the past couple of years. A lot of life changes for Mark in a very condensed period of time. These guys are human beings. At some point, it's going to weigh on you.
Yeah, I mean, we both have, I mean, am I correct in saying your wife's pregnant? You guys are expecting,
right? She is pregnant, yes, and
yeah.
You're expecting too,
correct? Okay, so
too,
we share that. We're expecting too. So let's just extrapolate it to our lives. You have a pregnant wife, I have a pregnant wife. Is there some frustration that is evident every now and then? Possibly.
Perhaps.
I'm not speaking for your household, but maybe perhaps.
I'm not sure.
In my household, there might be some
frustration. She might listen in the past, but there is a potential that there may or may not be that in existence, theoretically speaking.
Yeah. No, nobody has to we're not going to speculate and say for sure, but just hypothetically. And if there was, could it just pass generally? Yeah, it could pass. And then in 5 minutes, it could not be a big deal, you know? So I think generally, you know, I just don't think it's a big deal. Mark ripped his jersey. He's done some weird stuff. It is way uncharacteristic of him. But he's always, even in his early days, even when we were all praising him, he was always an emotional player, and I just don't necessarily think that it's a big deal, and I don't think that we should think that it's either unfixable or he's going to bolt to San Antonio or New York or any of that good stuff. Like, it could just be that he's frustrated, and that's okay. We're all
frustration
frustrated.
Frustration is something, and we all are frustrated, and that's a very human emotion, and we have to keep that in mind. Matt, thank you so much, man. I really enjoyed this conversation, as I always do. We'll have to have you on again as the playoffs get started.
Go for the 2-seed, just like you said, and also get rest. Do both of those things.
I love it. Thank you, Matt. Have a good one.
All right, buddy.
That was Matt Ardlicka. Follow him on Twitter, @TheRealArdlicka. And once again, you know, I would put our writing staff at GrizzlyBearBlues.com up against anybody in SB Nation, or even, to be honest with you, in some professional circles, and I would say we're right up there with them. He's one of the best, if not the best. I'd say him, Andrew Ford, Kevin Young, those are all great authors and writers. He's right there at the top. Follow him on Twitter. Great perspective. I enjoy speaking with him. That was excellent. Thank you, Matt, very much. As we head into the final segment of the show, ladies and gentlemen, I want to make sure I once again give a shout-out to Audible.com, powered by Amazon, an audiobook service that if you sign up for using this URL, you have to use this, www.audibletrial.com/grizzlybearblues. You sign up using that URL, fantastic service, over 150,000 books to choose from. You get a download right off the jump with your membership. Every month you'll get a new download with your membership. You can obviously buy more if you want, but you get one per month with that membership. Plus, once again, www.audibletrial.com/grizzlybearblues. Sign up, get yourself an amazing service, and help us here at GBB Live with an even more amazing cause. The fee, the money that comes from the sponsorship, from you signing up, we're not taking a single dime of that home, putting it in our pocket. We are making a donation at the end of the season to St. Jude Children's Research Hospital in Memphis, Tennessee. And we are passionate about this because of the great work they do, the amazing things that they do to help young people facing life-threatening diseases and their families. No family that goes through St. Jude's doors ever has to pay a cent for their treatment or their lodging while they are there. That is not because it's all free. All of these things cost money, and St. Jude is one of the state-of-the-art areas in terms of children's health in the world. So these things are expensive, but they want to make sure that the families focus on getting well, not on how they're going to pay for it. That comes from donations, that comes from charitable organizations, and that comes from folks like us here at GBB Live trying to do our little part to help them out. So once again, www.audibletrial.com/grizzlybearblues. Sign up for an amazing audiobook service for yourself and help out a greater cause in the process as we prepare to make our donation to St. Jude Children's Research Hospital. Our final guest this evening is the host of the Man Cave Sports Show on Yahoo 730 AM in Memphis, Tennessee. Give them a listen tomorrow afternoon, tomorrow evening from 3 to 5, Fridays from 3 to 5. He is on the Yahoo Sports airwaves. Joining us on the Blog Talk Radio airwaves is friend of the show, coming back, excited to have him back on, Mr. Isaac Simpson. Isaac, my friend, how are you doing tonight?
Oh, I'm doing pretty good, man. How are things going?
Things are going well. You know, I really enjoy doing this show every week because I'm going to be honest with you here, Isaac, for a moment. If you would indulge me for a second, I would really appreciate it. You know, I left Memphis last summer, and, you know, I miss the city a good bit. I call it my second home, and I see all these awesome things starting to pick back up with spring, you know, whether it be when I lived downtown Africa in April. I loved walking around Africa in April and seeing all the great vendors and all the great stuff that goes on. And then, of course, in May is Memphis in May. You have the barbecue championships, the music festival, and then, you know, all these breweries that are popping up, and I do enjoy a cold adult beverage from time to time. And then you've got this Rec Room opening that sounds phenomenally awesome.
Yeah.
Like, holy crap, that sounds great. Plus, the Tennessee Brewery is coming back. I just got to tell you, man, I am very jealous on this Thursday night of you and anybody who lives in the greater metro area of Memphis, Tennessee.
Definitely, man. There's a lot of new things opening up, opening squares, just popping right now, man. It's good things going on in Memphis. And like you said, the Rec Room, I'm really, really excited about that as well. I haven't had a chance to go down there and check it out yet, but I've been reading about it, and it seems like it's awesome. Take you back to your childhood, the retro arcade games, man. It's awesome. Definitely going to get down there and check that out.
Next time I'm in town, I'm going to be there, and I feel like we should organize a party, not necessarily for me, because, you know, I just want to, you know, be able to see all the Grizzlies bloggers and radio folks and, you know, just kind of hang out, play some games.
Yeah,
I think that'd be a lot of fun. We're going to have to figure that out.
Yeah, that would be awesome.
Later on. But anyway, as we look back on the week that was, Isaac, you know, there's a lot of frustration among Grizzlies fans for a variety of reasons. And one of them being the fact that, you know, we talk about Greater Memphis, this tagline, we're chasing greater, which is very catchy, fires you up, you watch the videos, and you're like, hell yeah, I want to chase greater, that sounds great. But then you go and get blown out by the Cavaliers, by the Warriors, by the Spurs, the three teams that, as I talked about with Matt in the last segment, you're going to have to beat at least one of them, maybe two, possibly all three, to get to that greater goal of an NBA championship. Those blowout losses, then they find a way to beat convincingly, in fairness to the Grizzlies, a Sacramento team who has had success under George Karl a little bit, but they were without their best player, Boogie Cousins, who went out against Houston Wednesday night and lost his freaking mind, playing probably the game of his career in a loss, which tells you how great James Harden has been, and we'll talk about the Houston Rockets here in a moment. But the week that was for the Grizzlies, I mean, how are you feeling, you know, as a guy who does radio in Memphis and then obviously on Twitter, and you talk to a good bit of fans, of course. How do you think Grizz Nation is feeling? How do you feel in particular about the situation that the Grizzlies are in heading into the final seven games of the regular season?
Like we just spoke of, it was a tough week. I mean, you lose three games by a total of 59 points. During the Cleveland game, I kind of talked that one up. I was like, well, these type of games happen. I was like, they'll bounce back on Friday. Knowing this team, they're resilient. Definitely not used to seeing them lose two games on the home floor. So come out Friday night and kind of a flush and repeat of the same thing. And it kind of surprised me. I was actually a little bit worried. I know I was on Twitter talking to different fans, and some say, oh, well, we'll be all right, everything's fine. But that's not something that you're used to seeing from this team, especially two back-to-back losses, let alone blowout losses at home. During the San Antonio game, even though the final score, I mean, they end up losing by 14, it doesn't. They played much better. You could see signs of life in the San Antonio game. Some things start to go their way. And I could tell that they may be getting back to closer to what they were before this losing streak. And you come out kind of hard to gauge anything from Monday night. I know Boogie Cousins was out, and Rudy Gay, who was having a phenomenal first half, kind of got elbowed by Mark and was out with signs of a concussion. So it's kind of tough to take a lot from that game. One thing that I do, they got Courtney Lee going a little bit. I know we're going to talk about that a little bit. He couldn't get anything going from three, but he was 5 of 10 from the floor, and he was actually shooting the ball, and which is something that Dave Yeager talked about in an interview earlier this week, that he told Courtney and even Jeff Green that even if you're going to take some bad shots, just shoot the basketball, and thought that was good to see. Now we just got to get him going from three-point range, but he was knocking it down from mid-range in that game, so I'm positive about what's going on. We don't see what happens tomorrow night, but I think they can get back on track. I mean, you got the schedule makers definitely did the Grizzlies a favor. I mean, I think they're going to be home for at the end of this thing probably about a total of 11 days. With four games at home, that's like unheard of. And you got the rare home back to back on Friday and Saturday, so they had a lot of time, a lot of practice time, a lot of rest time. And I'm positive. I like the fact that Yeager said a team cares about achieving the two seed and trying to win a division, and I think that's something the goal that they look for. And with a veteran team, I think they're going to come out and handle business in the last seven games.
And the good thing about having the tangible goal of reaching for that two seed and trying to get that division title that they've never had before, the beautiful thing about it is you can measure it, you know. And obviously, in an era of analytics and metrics, you feel like you can measure everything, but you can't necessarily do that, and just randomly making the playoffs, yeah, it's a good season to get to 50 wins. that's the historical number of a good year is a 50-win season. But if we're talking about greater, and again, that is from the organization itself, that's from the Memphis Grizzlies, that's from the players, if you listen to them talk about how they think this is their chance at an NBA championship, you have to aspire to greater. And the past 20 games, Isaac, they've been 10-10, which is as mediocre as it gets, a 500 ball club. And you mentioned Courtney Lee in 18 games played during that 20-game stretch. He is shooting 35.4% overall. He's shooting 24.6% from three. Goodness gracious, Isaac, that is a problem. People like to make Jeff Green the scapegoat, but if you're a guy who is the designated shooter, floor spacer, is not hitting shots, you're in trouble, aren't you?
Definitely. Like I said, they're going to have to get, in order for them to achieve anything in the playoffs, they're going to have to get Courtney going, especially from three-point range. I know Vince has come back a little bit rejuvenated. He's been knocking down some shots. I think he hit three of six from downtown in the Sacramento game, which helps. But they're definitely going to need Courtney Lee to get back on track if they, like I said, they have any designs on achieving greater, like we just talked about. I mean, because he's the guy. I mean, he's the designated shooter, like you spoke of, on the team. And without him, with him in the slump, I think that's a big part of some of the struggles that they've been having, like you said, in the last 20 games, his play and the struggles of Marc Gasol, I think, have been played a big part into why they've struggled so much.
That's fantastic analysis, Isaac. But my only argument against you, and you didn't mention Jeff Green, Isaac. Goodness gracious. Clearly, he is the problem, right?
That's what a lot of the fans think, but I disagree. I disagree with them on it. Jeff's been phenomenal the last few games. He's had some big games, and that's really good sign that he seems to be fitting in. And Jaeger said, just take some shots, even if you're gonna take some bad shots. We got to get you going, and it seems to be working with Jeff Green, and see if we can get it going with Courtney.
How do we do that, Isaac? And once again, we're talking to Isaac Simpson of the Man Cave Sports Show. Be sure to listen to the program every Friday, or maybe not every Friday. Forgive me, Isaac. You have a show tomorrow, right?
I do.
All right, make sure, and we'll give a rundown of what the show will look like at the end of our segment here. Make sure you're listening Friday, Yahoo Sports, 7:30 a.m. from 3 to 5 in Memphis, a great program. I've thoroughly enjoyed listening to it, whether it be in Memphis when I lived there or even, you know, listening online now. I still try to keep up with all the great local radio, so make sure you're listening to the program. Isaac, how do the Grizzlies do it? How do they get Courtney Lee going? Put on your Coach Jaeger hat. Coach Jaeger has assigned you to be the personal tutor of Courtney Lee. It is your job to get him going. How would you do it?
Oh, one thing about Courtney Lee, he's always been extremely streaky. And a bad downside to him is there doesn't seem to be much middle ground with him. Either he's awesome, like he was in the first part of the season, or he's bad, which he's been since the All-Star break, even a little bit before then. I just say shoot the ball. He put up 10 shots, and that's another thing. He hadn't been shooting the ball. He's been bad, and then he seemed afraid to shoot. But I see his confidence seems to be getting up. In the Sacramento game, he started to shoot the ball. I mean, he saw some shots go down, and he's shooting the ball more. So I just think he needs to put shots up. He got to get it going from downtown, though. He still was 0-4 from three-point range. So, I mean, 5-10 from in the mid-range game. He had the mid-range game going. But I definitely think he just needs to put up shots. And I think he's too good of a shooter. Just like Jaeger said, to continue to streak. If he puts up shots, eventually something's going to go down. And like I said, hopefully these 3 days of practice, he's been getting some shots up and maybe get some rest. I know he had the wrist injury, so that might play into it a little bit as well. I know he's had that for a month and a half now. He says he's been dealing with it. So just continue to put up shots. That's the only thing we can do, and hopefully some of them start to fall.
And that's a huge part of it. You touched on it, Isaac, the wrist. And anything that involves the shooting motion, which unfortunately for basketball players is a big majority of your body. But,
yeah,
you know, as something as small as a big toe, you go from the big toe to the ankle
definitely.
To the knee. Anything that can affect your launch point as a jump shooter like Courtney is, or your dribble drive penetration if you're a guy like a Mike Conley or a Nick Calathes like a Jeff Green in terms of being able to get to the basket. Anything that can affect your game moving and in that jump shot motion can kill you. And the further up you go, I would argue, the more complicated it gets, whether it's your back, having back issues, anybody who's had back problems, I mean, goodness gracious, it shuts down your entire body. And then in the case of Courtney in particular, the wrist for a shooter, that might be the most important part. The flick of the wrist, that ability to really get a follow through on a jumper, you're probably not able to hold your technique as long as you've been in the past if you're that uncomfortable with your motion. So that has to play a huge part in it, just getting him healthier.
Yeah, and I don't think that's been touched on enough. A lot of people are talking about the struggles that he's had, and really nobody ever mentions that wrist injury, but I definitely think that probably plays a part in how bad he's been shooting the ball. But like I said, hopefully just the time they've had off, which is great. I mean, the way the schedule shook out, it's going to have been a better time because they definitely needed it. And hopefully we can get some guys healthy, and particularly Courtney, and he get that jump shot going because we need it. He was awesome in the beginning of the year. I think he was shooting, I can't even remember, his video game-like numbers from 360-something-odd% early in the season. So we've seen him do it. So I definitely believe he can get it back. You don't just lose that. A guy that's a shooter, I think he can get it back, and hopefully we'll see that in these last seven games and going into the playoffs.
And he's a key piece to the puzzle. There's no doubt about that. I would say there are six core Grizzlies. I've been trying to think up a catchy nickname for these six guys. I just can't do it, Isaac. I just need to, you know, I am on spring break, so maybe tomorrow my honey-do list has shrunk a little bit, so maybe tomorrow I can just kind of really get to work on coming up with a nickname for, you know, we had the core four, of course, with Tony Allen and Marc Gasol, Mike Conley, Zach Randolph, but now you add in Courtney Lee and Jeff Green, the something six, just got to work on it. Maybe our listeners can work on that too. A nickname for these guys. The point I'm trying to make is you're going to need all six of them, regardless of who starts. You're going to need every single one of these guys to have some of the best basketball of their entire lives if you hope to win that NBA championship. We're talking with Isaac Simpson of the Man Cave Sports Show. Follow him on Twitter at MC Sports Show. Another guy who's going to be as important, maybe not as important as those six that I just referenced, but maybe so. Maybe outside of Beno Udrih, the next most important guy is that bench strength. Kosta Koufos is still going to see big minutes in the playoffs, filling in for Marc Gasol and maybe in for Zach Randolph at times, depending on the matchup. He has had a very nice little run of it lately. In fact, against the Sacramento Kings, he played 24 minutes. He had 8 points. 12 rebounds, 3 blocks. He looked pretty impressive playing against his former coach. And the Sacramento Kings maybe will be in the market very soon when the season ends for a starting center. Obviously, DeMarcus Cousins, playing a lot of center for them right now. But in theory, he would be a better power forward, maybe would give him better matchups. And whether it's the Sacramento Kings, and I say that mostly because of the connection with Coach Carl, his former coach, Isaac, whether it be the Kings, whether it be a team like the Knicks after they inevitably strike out on Marc Gasol, you know, whether it maybe even be a team like the San Antonio Spurs or the Cleveland Cavaliers, if they're not as interested in Timothy Mozgov, although I think he'll probably be their guy, there's going to be a variety of teams that will be interested in the services of a talented big like Kosta Koufos. So, assuming that he's gone at the end of the season, like I think most people do, maybe there's an outside chance that he stays, and then in the unlikely gulp situation that Marc Gasol leaves, Kosta Koufos comes in, he's probably your starting center, and they make him that because he's familiar with scheme. But let's assume Mark stays, like most people do. Let's assume that Kosta leaves. What do the Grizzlies get out of him these next seven games and in the playoffs? How do you best utilize the remaining time that the Grizzlies have with Kosta Koufos and his skill set?
Well, like you said, he's been really good during the stretch. Even when they were playing bad, he's been one of the guys that really stepped up. Like you said, he had 8-12 the other night. I think it's something that a lot of teams don't have. There are not many teams that are bringing a Kosta Koufos off the bench, especially when you got, in theory, Marc Gasol, the player that Marc Gasol can be in your starting lineup. I think that's really, really important going to the playoffs, especially in the West. I think they can cause matchup problems and don't give teams a break. When Marc Gasol goes off the floor, you still got another guy that can come in there that you have to deal with. I mean, he's a tough offensive rebounder. He's good at putbacks. He had a monster dunk the other night, which was pretty awesome. I love Kosta. I hate that he's going to be leaving, possibly leaving, but I can understand. I think him and his agent have both expressed interest, I've heard, to be a starter in the league, and I can understand that. He started, I think, 81 games for Denver before he came to the Grizzlies. So he's been a starter in his league, and he's definitely better than a lot of starting centers that teams have in the league. So I can understand him wanting to go somewhere and be a starter. I think the only way he's back is, like you said, for some reason Marc Gasol decides to leave, which I don't think that's going to happen. I know there's been a lot of speculation about that. But, yeah, I mean, I think Costa is very important off the bench coming into playoffs, and I think he can bring a lot of energy and help teams, I mean, help the Grizzlies. You have a dynamic that a lot of other teams don't have, especially if you're talking about teams like the Clippers that don't have as much front court depth. I think he really helps and would be a really dangerous weapon for the Grizzlies off the bench.
I've made the comparison in the past that Kosta Koufos, and now that Jeff Green especially is on the bench, unit can be like the curveball or the changeup, the off-speed pitch, to the starting unit's fastball in terms of keeping opposing coaches, opposing lineups off kilter, you know, not being able to really get a feel for what the other team is doing. You have, obviously, Marc Gasol, Zach Randolph, big bruising bodies in the post that can slow down a game and really dominate you on either end when they're on their game. And then you go to Costa, who's a great athletic big, Jeff Green, a hellacious athlete, the best athlete on the team. You have all sorts of dunk highlights, and Jeff Green's only been on the team 3 months. Bano can run. Nick Calathes can run. You can really mix and match and really pick up the pace and the tempo and use different kinds of sets that maybe wouldn't work with a Courtney Lee or a Tony Allen or even a Mike Conley because of their size. So there's an opportunity there to really make Kosta Koufos be an X factor alongside the likes of Vince Carter, Bano Udra. You would imagine those three are going to be the key, and Jeff Green, of course. Those are probably your four major bench players heading into the playoffs as the benches condense. We're wrapping up here with Isaac Simpson of the Man Cave Sports Show. Follow him on Twitter at MC Sports Show. Has a show tomorrow, or Friday, today, if you're listening on Friday, every Friday, I should say. He has a program, 3 to 5 p.m. on Yahoo Sports, 7:30 a.m. Be sure to give it a listen if you're in Memphis, or listen online. Finally, Isaac, the week ahead for the Memphis Grizzlies, as you alluded to earlier in the segment, the very rare home-and-home back-to-back. Oklahoma City Thunder Friday night on ESPN, national game, the Thunder fighting for their playoff lives. Saturday night, the Washington Wizards and sad-faced John Wall come into town, who felt they were disrespected when Memphis pulled the big core four bench job when they were in D.C. recently. I covered that game for the site, unfortunately, in terms of the quality of game. It was like watching the Iowa Energy towards the end. But, obviously, Iowa Energy, very important towards the future of the team. You just don't plan to see them at an NBA game on a Thursday night. But anyway, I digress. So they welcome the Wizards to the Forum on Saturday night, probably still going to play everybody if they're truly pursuing this two seed at this point. And then another rare, even as rare as the home and home back-to-back,
3 days off.
3 days off. They've had 3 days off. Their last game was Monday against the Kings. They won that. They've had 3 days off. They play again Friday, Saturday, as we just said. And then they don't play again until Wednesday against the New Orleans Pelicans, who, by the way, are still fighting for their playoff lives with the Oklahoma City Thunder. So you have a sandwich of two teams in the West fighting for their lives. In the middle, you've got the Washington Wizards, who, if the Grizzlies play everybody, which it seems like they will, I would imagine they're going to come out and want to put a whipping on the Wizards for the moaning and groaning they did about the last time that these two teams played. You look at the week ahead, Isaac. Do you think the Grizzlies can go 3-0, 2-1? Is there any game in particular that scares you? Or are you just saying if they show up and play the way they're capable of, 2-1 should be the worst they do?
Yeah, I think if they're playing Grizzlies basketball, I think 2-1 is at the worst. But I would predict 3-0. I know OKC is coming in, like you said, fighting for their playoff lives. It looked like they would pull away a little bit from there, but they dropped the game against Dallas the other night. Now it's 1.5 games up on New Orleans, so they're still in a fight. So they got to come in here ready to play, but I think the Grizzlies can get it done. Washington, like I said, the beating that they put on us up in up in D.C. I think the Grizzlies will want revenge in that one. And the New Orleans game is big for tiebreaker implications. You're looking at Houston and a division record. I think that's a game that the Grizzlies must win. I know New Orleans is normally a bad matchup for us. I went down to New Orleans early in the month. I mean, the Grizzlies blew an 18-point lead. They always have trouble with the Pelicans, but I think this is a game that they really need. And like you said, if they're playing Grizzlies basketball, I think they can really go 3-0 in this stretch, 2-1 at worst.
The biggest thing for this stretch for them, Isaac, is the fact that they're getting an opportunity to rest and practice. Dave Joerger is able to do things right now that he probably hadn't been able to do in a month in terms of resting these guys through practice, in terms of film study as a team, in terms of general day-to-day operations. This is stuff that he's not been able to do, and he has 2-3-day periods where he's able to do it. So I think that you'll see a rested Grizzlies team. The last time I came on this show and did this preview segment, I predicted a 3-0 sweep, and that looked pretty silly after the way they got blown out the next two games.
I was right there with you on that. I predicted 3-0 as well.
I think I'm with you in terms of 2-1. I think that they'll go 2-1 in this stretch. I could see them dropping the game to New Orleans that Wednesday. It's another 3 days off. It's a team that they've always struggled with, Anthony Davis and Omer Asik. They give a big amount of problems to that Grizzlies front court. So if and I believe Ryan Anderson just came back as well.
Yeah,
for the Pelicans.
He is back.
He's a great floor spacer. He's a guy that can score the basketball in a variety of ways. I think the Pelicans can come in and give the Grizzlies problems. The Thunder, obviously Russell Westbrook is a basketball cyborg, but he's by himself basically at this point.
Yeah.
And their defense has been atrocious. I don't know if you've watched the Thunder lately, Isaac.
Yeah, it's been pretty bad.
Offensive woes recently might get taken care of because of the fact that the Thunder can't defend. So I think 2-1, 3-0 is certainly possible. I'm looking at the NOLA game as a game that could possibly drop. Isaac, thank you so much, as always, for joining us. And if you would, give the folks a preview of your show coming up Friday.
Yes, sir. The Man Cave Sports Show tomorrow afternoon, as I said, 3 to 5 p.m. on Yahoo Sports, 7:30. I've got a great show lined up tomorrow at 3 o'clock. I got Joey Ikes from CowboysHQ.com. I'm sure Joe doesn't like that a lot, but, you know, he joins me every week talking Dallas Cowboys football and the NFL draft. At 3:30, I got Shane Young. He's an NBA columnist from HoopsHabit.com. He'll join me at 3:30 to talk Grizzlies and all the things going on in the NBA. I've also got at 4 p.m. Anthony Slater. He's the Oklahoma City Thunder beat writer for the Oklahoma newspaper there in Oklahoma City. He'll be in Memphis covering the game, and he'll join me talk about the big matchup coming up tomorrow night, plus the open phone lines at 4:30 talking Grizzlies and Tigers. So make sure you check it out, Man Cave Sports Show, 3 to 5 on 7:30 a.m. Yahoo Sports tomorrow afternoon.
That's fantastic, and I'm going to have to tune in and listen to the Shane Young segment because we're having him on GBB Live next week. So that'll be great to get a preview of things to come with Shane. Make sure you guys are checking out the Man Cave Sports Show 3 to 5 Friday, or every Friday, on Yahoo 7:30 a.m. in Memphis. Isaac does a great job, even with the Cowboys segment. I still enjoy the program. Isaac, thank you so much for coming on GBB Live. It is much appreciated, sir. We'll be sure to have you on in the future.
Definitely, man. Thanks for having me.
Absolutely. Once again, that was Isaac Simpson of the Man Cave Sports Show on Yahoo Sports 7:30 a.m. in Memphis from 3 to 5 on Friday afternoons. Be sure to follow him on Twitter at MC Sports Show. We're wrapping up another great episode of GBB Live. I am your host, Joe Mullinax, and it has been a wonderful program. I'm so thankful to our guests and for everybody who's been chiming in on Twitter and in other areas. Very, very, very thankful for the live program that we've had this evening. And I do want to make sure, as kind of a parting thought and a parting shot, I want to touch on the idea of what is going on with the offense, because the offensive struggles are what worry you as a fan of the idea of this team achieving something greater. They have fallen off offensively. They were playing great offensive basketball earlier in the season. A lot of that coincided with Courtney Lee playing so well. Now that he has struggled and the team has regressed a bit back to its mean, they've gone back to about 13th in offensive efficiency, according to ESPN.com. They are 14th, 103.1 is their offensive efficiency rating. Defensively, they're still playing tremendous basketball, as you would come to expect from these Memphis Grizzlies. That has been their calling card for years. Right now, they are the fifth best team in the NBA in terms of their defensive efficiency. But championship teams are usually in the top 10 in both, and the Grizzlies are still kind of flirting with being a top 15 team because of their performance earlier in the year. Something to watch for these next few games is how the offense is clicking, whether it be with Jeff Green at the helm of the second unit, whether it be because Tony Allen is still out dealing with hamstring issues. You're looking at, you know, Nick Calathes, Beno Udra, and others getting run, maybe even Vince Carter getting a little extended run if he's feeling up to it with that first and second unit in terms of VC potentially starting, keeping Jeff Green and his role off the bench. However, Coach Yeager decides to line up these next few games, and if Tony Allen's healthy, obviously Tony Allen more than likely in the starting lineup, look for the offense. Look at the flow of the ball movement. Look for the penetration on the dribble drive. Look for if they're able to find each other more consistently, because so often in recent games, the offense has not clicked as well as it has in the past. So, however you think these next few games are going to go, if it's 1-2, I would think that's a failure. 2-1, 3-0, I think are realistic hopes for this stretch of home games coming up. Look for the offense. Let's see if after a couple of days of rest and practice, the offense seems to be clicking better and they take advantage of, especially a Thunder team who has really struggled defending ever since Kevin Durant and Serge Ibaka in particular have gone down due to injury. Next week on GBB Live, I will be joined by our guest, as I said with Isaac in the first or in the last segment there. His guest tomorrow on the Man Cave Sports Show will be our guest next Thursday. It'll be Shane Young of HoopsHabit.com. He does a great job covering all of the NBA. We'll talk Memphis Grizzlies and the Western Conference with him, as the picture is probably a little bit clearer 3 games from now and 7 days from now, heading into the Western Conference playoffs. And then returning to the program, we're excited to have back host of the Jeff Calkins Show on 92.9 FM ESPN Memphis, also columnist for the Memphis Commercial Appeal. Jeff Calkins will be coming back on GBB Live. We're excited to have him back, and we'll talk about the Grizzlies, that pursuit of greater. Marc Gasol hopefully looking a little bit more confident and himself after this 3-game home stretch, 11 days, as Isaac said, that they've been able to spend at home. Thank you so much to our guest this evening, Chris Faulkner, in the first segment with Grizzly Bear News, then Matt Ardlicka and Isaac Simpson talking Grizzlies with me on this wonderful evening. Make sure that you are subscribing to the podcast on iTunes if you do not already. Never miss another episode of GBB Live. Even if you can't catch the live show, you can subscribe on iTunes and you'll get it almost within minutes of the show ending. It's up there on iTunes. Subscribe, give it a listen anytime you want. Listen on your MP3. iTunes is an amazing opportunity for us. We're thankful to have the show there. Make sure you're subscribing on iTunes. Make sure you follow us on our Blog Talk Radio page as well, where you can find all the shows that we've done in addition to following us on Twitter at GBB Live. Also, make sure, once again, www.audibletrial.com/grizzlybearblues. Sign up for a great audiobook service through audible.com powered by Amazon and help us make a donation to St. Jude Children's Research Hospital in Memphis, Tennessee. Ladies and gentlemen, it's been another wonderful installment, another wonderful opportunity to be on the show and on the Blog Talk Radio airwaves with you. I enjoy these conversations and I look forward to the next 3 games for the Memphis Grizzlies and the next time that we are together. Ladies and gentlemen, I am your host, Joe Mullinax. Grind forth, Grizz Nation. This has been Grizzly Bear Blues Live.